grateful to be with you this morning and so excited about what the Lord has in store. And I really wanted to talk about the basics of our faith this morning out of that passage in Galatians. I'm getting married in 13 days. Thank you. To that beautiful lady right there. We have been engaged since last May, so it has been a very long engagement. And the interesting thing to me about engagement times and the whole process of getting married is it's very easy to get stuck on the details of one day, your wedding day, rather than planning for your life together. So it's easy to get fixed on what color are the dresses going to be and what color are the ties going to be and how are people going to look, and then what kind of food are we going to serve, and what is the band going to play at the reception. And all these little details, it's really easy to get fixed in the details of the day. But really all that matters at the end of it is that she's going to be my wife and I'm going to be her husband. And that's it. And the beauty of two becoming one in the sight of God and in the sight of man. But it's easy during that time of engagement and planning a wedding to spend your whole time planning the details of the day rather than looking toward the future of your life together. And in our Christian walks, sometimes it's very easy to get so distracted by details that we forget the big picture of what we believe. It's easy to get so enamored in little things that can sometimes become a distraction for us that we forget the good news of the basics of the gospel, the basics of our faith. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. And as Paul is writing his letter to the Galatians, he's writing to a group of people that had been told by these false teachers that, yes, Jesus is a good thing, but you also need to do certain ceremonial rituals, certain rites of passages to become a Christian. That, yes, grace is true, but also you have to do some good works to get in right standing with God. And Paul writes Galatians to say, that is not true. It's not true that you're saved by grace through faith and that this is the good news of the gospel. I want to read to you the passage again and then kind of break it down that we read before. He says this, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So Paul opens up saying, listen, if there's any gospel that's preached to you that's different than the one I preach to you, it's not the real one. If anyone comes to you with a message that is different than what you received, it's not the real message. It's not the real gospel. And so the question becomes that is very important to us is what is the real gospel? What's the truth? What's the basics of our faith? What's the rock-solid truth of Jesus? And I think Paul outlines this in verse 3, 4, and 5. And I want to tell you today that and we're going to break this down, but the gospel is about a person who paid a price for a purpose according to a plan. If you notice, all my points start with a P. I would also like to say that I didn't think of that on my own. I stole it from a commentator. So Warren Wiersbe is your guy if you want someone that has good acronyms. But here we go. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The first point is the gospel is about a person. It is about Jesus Christ. Anyone that brings you a gospel or a message that isn't centered on Jesus, it's not the real gospel. A gospel that's not about Jesus, the Son of the living God, is not true. And these are some of the things that the Word of God says that Jesus is. In Matthew 16:16, it says that He is Christ, the Son of the living God. In John 1:14, it says He is the Word made flesh. In Revelation 1:8, He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. In Colossians 1:16, He's the Creator of all. In verse 17, He's the Sustainer of all. In verse 18, He's the Head of the Church. In verse 19, He's the Fullness of God. In verse 20, He's the Redeemer. In Hebrews 1:3, it says that Christ is the radiance of the glory of God, that He is the exact imprint of His nature. It says that He upholds the universe by the word of His power, that you are alive today because Jesus said so, that this world is spinning around the sun because Jesus said so, that He is holding the universe by the word of His power. This is who Jesus is. In John 11, He describes Himself as the resurrection and the life. In John 14, He says He's the way, the truth, and the life. In John 6, He says He is the bread of life. This is Jesus, the eternal God, the star breather, the one who spoke everything into being from nothing, who became flesh, who became man, and died for us. This is the person that we celebrate when we gather on Sundays. This is the person that is the center of the gospel. It is Jesus Christ. And then if we continue in the verse, it says in verse 4, who gave Himself for our sins. That this person, Jesus Christ, gave Himself up, that He paid a price. When we read in Isaiah 53, written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus lived, before Jesus died, it tells a portrait of His death. It says in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was despised and rejected by men. It says He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by His wounds we are healed. It says that the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. It says that He poured out His soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet He bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. That this Jesus, this one who spoke the universe into existence, that said, "Let there be light," and there was light, who took up dust and formed man and breathed life into him, and there was life. This star creator, this human creator, the creator of all, the one who holds the universe up by the word of His power, that He came and He died, that He paid a price. And the price was His life. That at the cross, Jesus bore the transgressions of many, that He was crushed, that He was pierced. This is at the center of our faith, that Jesus died, that the cross was very, very significant to your life, to your redemption. The cross is at the center of history, and it's at the center of the story of your life. The gospel is about a person who paid a price for a purpose. He continues this in verse 4, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. That Jesus died for a reason. He went to the cross for a reason, and it was to deliver you from the present evil age. The word delivered there, when it is used in the New Testament, is used to describe how God took the Israelites who were in bondage in Egypt and brought them to freedom in the Promised Land. So by the cross, by the price that Jesus paid with his life, he takes you out of bondage and he brings you into freedom. He takes you out of the mess that you're in and he brings you into an amazing place that he has designed for you. That all of us are held in bondage to our sin. All of us are held in bondage to the things of this world. And because of the price that Jesus paid, because of the cross, he takes you out of Egypt. Whatever your Egypt is, whatever the addiction or the habit or the unhealthy relationship, the sin that you're in, the hole that you're in, he takes you out by his mighty hand and he delivers you through the desert into the Promised Land, into freedom. The price of the cross was for the purpose of bringing you out of Egypt and into the Promised Land, delivering you from the present evil age. Paul puts it like this in Romans 3, verse 25. He's talking about Christ and he says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. The word propitiation means a wrath absorber. There is a truth in our faith that because of our sin, because we have made war against God and said no to him and to his promises, the wrath of God is upon us. And at the cross, Jesus, the Son of God, with the price he paid of his life, absorbs the wrath of God and takes on the punishment that we deserved so that when we're in him, when we have faith in him, when we believe in Jesus, we don't have to take it ourselves. This is the purpose of the cross. That there is a great exchange. That Jesus promises you, if you give me your life, I'll give you mine. That at the cross we can come to Jesus and give him our tattered, messed up, torn up, dirtied, stained lives for his clean, perfect, holy, unstained life. That at the cross we can turn in the death of our lives and exchange it for the life of the very Son of God. Later in Galatians, Paul puts it this way in chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. This is wonderful news. This is much to celebrate in. That the purpose of the price that was paid was your redemption, was buying you back from slavery in Egypt into the freedom of the cross. This is the great purpose of God. And it was all according to a plan. When we continue in verse 4 and 5, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That when Jesus was given up, it wasn't like God was up in heaven saying, oh no, this one's out of my hands. This one's out of my control. When Jesus went to the cross and died, it wasn't like God was scared or not knowing what was going to happen. He was in complete control the entire time. Ephesians 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, that God had a plan. That God's not just piecing things together as he goes, that there was a plan in place before the world was made. The cross was ready. Before God spoke the universe into existence, the cross was at the center of his mind and his plan for redeeming humanity. In Revelation, Jesus is called the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That at the center of God's purpose in his plan was the cross. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't something God stumbled upon. It was the centerpiece of his plan, which means something amazing for you and for me. It means that before God created you, he knew all the mess that would be a part of your life. Before God created you, he knew all the sins you would commit, all the wrong roads you would travel down, all the bad thoughts you would have. And knowing that ahead of time, he still created you, and he still sent Jesus for you. Knowing the depths of your failure and the depths of your sin, God chose to still send Jesus to you. To still send Jesus on your behalf. To still send him to the cross, knowing all your failures and all your mistakes and all that would come in your life that would be against what God would want for you. Jesus still hung on that cross for you. He paid the price of his life for you to deliver you. This is the gospel. It is about a person, Jesus Christ, who paid a price, his life, for a purpose to deliver you according to a plan that God had in motion before time began. This is incredible hope in times of transition with your church and seeking a pastor, because the head of the church is Jesus. He's always the head of the church, and he always will be. And no senior pastor replaces that or changes that. And the gospel is the centerpiece of all we believe. It is our rock in times of transition. That the gospel, that the basics of our faith, it's always something we need to come back to. It's always something we need to remember. This means when you feel like you're not good enough to come before God, that you've been sinful this week, that you haven't been in your Bible, you haven't been praying, you've been doing wrong things, that it doesn't mean you earn God's favor. It doesn't mean that you can work your way up to him. It means that trusting in Jesus and believing in Jesus is the way to come to him. And that we can approach the throne of God with boldness because of what Jesus has done. This gives us a rock-solid hope. It gives us entry before God. It gives us grace and a hope for a future. Never forget the basics. Never forget the gospel. Preach it to yourself every day. Speak the words of truth to yourself every day. Be changed by it. Because just as in planning a wedding, it's easy to miss the big picture, the beauty of the union of two people with all the details, so in our faith, sometimes it can be very easy to miss the big picture of who Christ is and what he's done for us. So let's keep our eyes on that. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of the gospel and how it changes lives. Jesus, we celebrate you today. We celebrate the person that you are, the price that you paid for the purpose of redeeming us according to the plan of God. We celebrate that you really do have the whole world in your hands, that you're not a God who is frantically trying to piece things together as they go, but you are a God who acts according to your will. We pray this morning, God, that you would lead people into the treasuring and cherishing of your truth and your word and your gospel, that we would be stunned every day at the beauty of Jesus and the beauty of the cross. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.